You know how there's all these sayings when it comes to drinking, things that you believe? Turns out there's three major myths that aren't true at all. And I'm reading over these and I think they're big fat lies because I believe these.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're talking about sayings with drinking. So, you know, beer before liquor, never sicker.
It's
liquor
actually
before
the first
beer.
One. That's the first one.
Okay.
Beer before liquor is actually fine. You know the rhyme, beer before liquor, never been sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. It's not true.
Liquor before beer, never. Okay, yeah, all right.
It doesn't matter what order you drink your booze. It's just how much of it you drink. Lie. I have done it the other way around and gotten sick before. Right. That was like basically my mantra through college.
Okay. What are some of the other ones that don't make sense? I have friends that will tell me to take aspirin the night before, or every beer that you have, drink a water with it too, and you'll never have a problem.
Well, I think that's just more logical stuff. This is like hair of the dog. Right.
Okay.
So they're saying here, you can't drink away your hangover. All you're doing is making your hangover last longer. I disagree with that, too. I have found I can't drink a whole drink the next day.
All right.
But sometimes just a couple sips just takes the edge off and makes me feel better.
When you use a phrase like take the edge off, you're already making bad behavioral choices. I can tell you that right now. Something about that immediately makes me feel bad. Now, I've had long nights and the next day wake up and have breakfast and maybe a little bit of a Bloody Mary, and that sets me off right. But there's vegetable juice in there. You know, I'm eating something at the same time. I've never been the person where I can rally and have another beer.
But if you just have a few sips of it, you'll feel so much better. Like, I'll never have a full one, but I'll have like a couple sips of like something just to kind of set me right.
I feel like I can't even smell those things the day after.
Well, maybe you have to try harder. Well, maybe this thing is right and this is all fake. And then there's my favorite one. There's no such thing as breaking the seal. How many times have you heard that? Breaking the seal. Once you go to the bathroom,
yes.
Then you're going to have to keep going to the bathroom all night. I believe this 100%.
I believe that to be fact also.
It says when your bladder's full, your bladder's full. There's no seal.
But why is it so much smaller after that first time?
That they don't explain.
See that? I don't know if I can trust you, scientists.
Powered by Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards. Or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply.
Goosefava. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Do you ever get a message from somebody, or a direct message in my case, and it just stays with you? Because I got one and it's been bothering me for a long time. Joining us is Amy Linus. She's from fitbodyvibe.com. She's our health expert. And Amy, you were the only person I could talk to about this because it bothered me. It was one of those messages that bothered me. Basically, what the message said was that she had a problem with me and the show. And the reason why she had a problem was because I spent a lot of times talking about diets that I'm on, things that I'm trying to do to lose weight, or, you know, sometimes feeling guilty if I eat the wrong things. And she said that ultimately, all I'm doing is setting a bad example because we should be doing body positivity and we should be encouraging people to be themselves and all this kind of thing. And it bothered me because I wasn't sure if she was right.
It's good to improve yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, what she's saying, there's probably something rational on that too, right?
But what I have found is that there's a difference between body positivity, which I believe I have, and I would never shame anybody for what they look like, and also using body positivity as an excuse not to be healthy and say, I'm beautiful the way I am and all that, and not eating healthy and not exercising.
Amy, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I find it's more of that than it is the actual body shaming. Because nobody's body shaming. These are your choices. And you're, you know, talking on air about what you're doing to combat how you're feeling and to focus on making yourself better, not worse. And you're also doing it with balance. So it's not like you're going on these crazy fad diets and, you know, you're doing it with balance in mind. I think that's actually a positive thing, especially for younger people listening, because what are they doing? They're looking up to you guys for advice and they're tuning in. And yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times, and this is going to be a funny analogy, but it's like some people, you know, hide behind religion. It's a similar situation. We're not really attacking the issue at hand. The issue at hand is health reasons. You know, we have to really focus on, is what we're doing healthy? Are we, you know, yes, everything in moderation without a doubt. Like, do I think everyone needs to be on a strict diet? Absolutely not. But being yourself and being mindful of the changes that you're making that are going to affect the longevity of your life.
This may sound terrible, but the only diet that works for me is the strict one. So I have to be like locked down. Like my wife just stops feeding me. That's the diet that's the most effective for me. Or prison. That would probably be an effective diet for me, Anna.
I can't wait till my next DM that says, Raven said that he has to go to jail to lose weight. And I'm like, and I'm not going to be sure how to respond. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Wonder if that one will stick with you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
All right. So in this situation where you do want to get healthier and you are doing it for yourself, it has to do with your own body positivity and your own positive ways. How do you get back into it when you haven't been doing it for a long time? Because I feel like it's easy to say, I'll start on Monday, but then Monday never really seems to happen.
When you start on Monday, Monday never comes. I think a lot of people try to get back into where they left off. And if you left off from, let's say you were in boot camp in the military, then you're not going to go work out like that when you're starting back up. So Monday never comes because sometimes we position Monday as being very, very difficult and really tough to get back in the swing of everything. So just something simple, very simple. Getting up a little bit earlier on Monday morning, even if it's 5 minutes. Get up and do something. Walk around. Just get your heart rate up and going in the morning, and then build from there. That way, every Monday, you're getting a little bit more in, and it's not one of those things thinking like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This is too much. It's too hard. You got to start where you're at, not where you used to be.
Good advice. You want to check out Amy for yourself? Head to fitbodyvibe.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that's driving you nuts right now? Here's your chance to just get it off your chest. Call 1-800-330-9999 and you fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Tori, what's up?
If you borrow something and don't give it back to me, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, who's borrowing stuff from you and not giving it back?
My sister borrowed like 3 sweaters and just never gave them back.
Do you think it's okay when it's a sibling? I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like when it comes to like my mom, my sister, like if they get it back, great. If not, like, you know what? It's all like the price to pay of being my family member.
Do they seem reluctant when you go to hand it out?
Well, my mom gets very annoyed. Like, she'll give me, like, the casserole dishes with food in it.
Yeah.
And then as far as I'm concerned, it's the minute that I walk out with it, it belongs to me now.
So it's the opposite with us, is whenever anybody brings something over in a dish or goes to leave it, my wife gets so, she hates it because we have no cabinet space. Mm. And we have everybody's random dishes at the house. And they never take their stuff back. Oh, yeah. It drives her insane.
She can leave them in my house. I love it.
Joe, that's all I need to know about you. What do you got?
If you don't pick up your dog's doo-doo on a walk, that's all you know about you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I saw somebody that was walking their dog the other day, and it was so hot. Like, I mean, I wouldn't even want to be out walking at that point. That's another thing, man. If you're out walking on a day that's so stifling, nobody else is out there, that when you step out of your house, it sounds like space because everybody's windows are rolled up. Your dog better have boots, or you should have just stayed home.
I realized that my dog's been having accidents inside, and like I couldn't figure out why, and Lila's always complicated anyway because of all of her anxiety. Mm. And then I'm like, it's because it's too hot outside. She's scared to go outside. That has to be it, right?
I don't know. Maybe she just likes peeing on your stuff now.
No, I think it's that. I feel like when it gets really hot, she doesn't like to go out.
Dan, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
So here's the thing. If you're one of those guys that's like, back in my day, you know, back in my day, this way, and you're like 35 or 40, that's really all I need to know about you.
Oh, you're Raven. That's who you are.
You know what that means? That means your legs hurt. It means your hips hurt.
Uh-huh.
All right, it means your legs are tired, feeling old at that moment.
What are you going to do when you're actually older?
Here's the thing. When I don't have to come to work, I'm so much younger.
Oh, it's only here when you complain. I see.
I am so much younger. It's like a time machine when I don't have to go to work. It's amazing. Julie, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. You bring young children to a concert and they don't have headphones or earplugs? That is all I need to know about you.
It's so funny when you see the little babies at concerts and the baby Bjorns and they've got those big headphones on, the noise-canceling headphones. Okay, like, I'm glad that you thought about the baby's ears, but why couldn't you just get a babysitter, you know?
Right. I mean, have you ever put those headphones on, by the way, too?
Yes.
My wife got us some pairs of those for the weed whacking. She's very sensitive, her ears, for the weed whacking when she's out doing any lawn work or whatever.
Yeah.
I tried to put those on, They're really tight.
They're really tight.
They were squeezing the heck out of my brain. I'd be worried about my small child, what they're doing to them.
But your head is also abnormally large. So, I mean, it's not the same. You know, I say that in the nicest way possible.
You just said they were tight on your head, too.
But they were fitted. But, like, I could see, on my head, they were fitted.
Oh, yeah?
On your head, it's squeezing out your eyeballs. And you know that I'm kind of right.
I'd be worried about a baby. That's all I'm saying. I'd be worried about a baby. I hear those heads are soft.
Do you ever find that technology is too difficult for some people? And usually not to be, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but the older people, like your parents or your grandparents or something like that.
You know, I find myself not understanding technology from time to time, but it's not about age for me. I think it's just a lack of interest. I don't want to learn it.
I was in a parking lot, and usually, you know how they have like the pay station, and then there's also the option that you can pay by app? This did not have a pay station. You could only pay by app. Now, I remember my mom got a $70 ticket not too long ago because she didn't understand where to pay. So she assumed like when she left, she would pay.
You're talking about parking your car.
Parking your car in a parking lot.
Okay.
Yes. And I saw this elderly couple and they were just wandering around with their flip phones in their hands and they looked all confused. And they were like, ma'am. And they came to me. They're like, we don't know how to pay for their parking spot. And I'm looking. There's no pay station. Same thing that they have to use the app. And they're like, we don't have apps. And I'm like, well, how are these poor people supposed to pay? You know?
I think you got screwed. I think those old people were taking advantage of you. They probably know exactly how to park. But so you paid their parking, I'm guessing.
I mean, $2 for the app. Like, what's the big deal? I can just add their car.
They're doing that to people every day, everywhere they go. Yeah, sometimes, you know, older people will have some struggles with technology. Like my grandfather-in-law and his cell phone.
Hey, Jay, how you doing? It's Pop. Listen, I really didn't mean to call you. I put Alicia's thing up there, and I hit the button, and you came up. Okay, listen, I'm going to try again. I hope I don't bother you again, but...
What is happening?
He's trying to reach my wife, of course. 5 minutes later, this happens.
Hi, Jay. It's Pop again. I'm sorry, but I keep dialing Alicia's number, and you come up. I don't know what's going on.
That's not a real thing, Pop. Just, you know, look at your contacts. It probably says Alicia's husband, Jay.
Right.
That's probably what's going on there.
Oh, that's so funny that he just keeps calling you over and over again. And then he feels the need to continue to leave messages.
I mean, those are just bits. Each one of those messages is 3 minutes long.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And explain it over and over and over again.
I know for my mom, she has a really hard time. There's her favorite Italian soap opera that she watches every night at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
She has to, a lot of times, she's not going to be around for it. So my daughter, who's 13, has to go over on Mondays and set the thing to record it all week at 7 o'clock on her TV so she'll never miss an episode.
Oh, the DVR.
She doesn't understand how to do it. Now, here's the crazy part. Why does my daughter go and not me? Because I also don't know how to do it. And the truth is that it's what, like you said earlier, like I don't have like the need to know how to do it.
Yeah.
So I've never figured it out. But if there was an Italian soap opera that I wanted to watch every night at 7 o'clock, I'd probably figure it out.
I mean, what are you going to do when your daughter moves away? Just never going to see Housewives again.
Never, never. Sometimes technology is too hard. And if you're older, it gets even harder. What is the technology that's too hard for your parents? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Megan.
When my mother's on the computer, if she's going to send me some money, she has to make sure that like I'm on the other side to receive it, even though it comes into my account automatically. So she thinks that like if I'm not there to receive it, like somebody's going to like steal it like in the internet somewhere.
So you have to be looking at your computer, sitting at your computer is what you're saying?
Like actually in my account to receive it.
It's like they'll watch you have to refresh the page and be like, got it, Mom.
Yeah, got it. I see it. Thanks. You sent it to the right place. Right. Thank you.
Did it. No, you did funny. It.
Alicia's grandfather won't use credit cards at all online. Won't use them on the phone, anything like that. So he calls us with his Amazon orders. Now, he doesn't even have the internet at his house anymore. So how he finds out about these things, that's beyond me. And he's into like folk music from decades ago. So he calls with the weirdest requests and wants you to find this CD. Funny thing is, he's doing all that to protect his finances. He doesn't care what he pays. He has no idea what anything costs. If he wants it, he has to have it instantly, and he has no other way to get it.
Rachel, what technology is too complicated for your parents?
My parents cannot seem to figure out how Facebook works. They think that they're like in a private conversation and they're like commenting for the whole world to see and like putting private information on there and honey, call me. And I'm like, Mom, just text me.
Yeah. I mean, I just want my father to go off of Facebook because he keeps like sharing things and then not knowing that he's sharing it.
And you told me he put some inappropriate stuff up there.
Gosh, like I don't think he understands. Like, and he's on TikTok too. Like when your father's on TikTok, like it's a problem. And then my daughter was going through all the people he followed on TikTok. And, and I was like, everything about this seems very wrong.
It got a little creepy.
It got a little creepy.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't understand who's watching.
No.
To be fair, neither do I. That's why I just stay off. I don't know why, but my wife's grandparents, I mean, her grandmother would be on there like crazy every day. Every photo has a comment. If you put up 10 photos, every one of them, and it's always the same comment. We love you so much. It's always, you're so beautiful. There's hardly ever a comment about the photo. It's either just, we love you so much, or I called you yesterday. Are you all right?
Yeah.
It just goes on and on.
Richard, what's the technology that's too complicated for your parents?
Oh, man. So I grew up basically being the remote control guy in my house because my parents would have a different remote for the DVD player and the TV and the VHS. And this is back when we had VCRs. Now they've moved into a new place. They've got a new TV. They've upgraded all their stuff. They still haven't gotten a universal remote. But now the remote controls have passed me by. So now I go and visit them, and I can't even figure out the remotes anymore. So it's become this weird thing of my dad has to show me what works, but then he doesn't get it. So my mom has to pitch in, and then I get confused. We all get confused. And then we just end up watching YouTube videos anyway.
I don't like that you need so many remote controls anymore.
Yeah.
Remember when you were little, you just had one remote control?
But the universal remote is garbage because then you got to program it for every device. And then it forgets it. It's like Bluetooth. Bluetooth sucks. Can I just say it? Bluetooth sucks when you're connecting, disconnecting, connecting, can't we just make it so it connects one time and it's over?
I mean, we sound like the old people that don't get the technology, but I have to say, I have a really hard time with it. Like with all the Bluetooth things.
Oh, no, Bluetooth, that's technology's fault. That's not our fault.
Oh,
the
thank
Bluetooth
God.
Is archaic. It sucks.
Okay. There's been a surge in popularity of women proposing to men. What is that all about? Ahmed Jabara is the imperfect suitor. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, you are.
All right. So this is basically what you do is you are a matchmaker. You find people love. People can visit you online at ahmedjabara.com. We have it on our website at annaandraven.com. Why is this happening?
So I think right now our generation is moving past the traditional norms. I think women are kind of taking more action in terms of their love life. And in a sense, like they're kind of tired of waiting. A big part of this also comes from the fact that a lot of men are not proposing because they're getting all the perks a husband would get without the actual title.
Wow.
It's
so
true.
It's the cow and the milk thing, Anna.
Oh, yeah.
It's the cow and the milk. Who told you the cow and the milk thing?
My mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to tell Hayden. I try to tell my daughters that too, my older daughter, but like, I don't know if I just sound ridiculous. I'm like, there's a cow and there's milk and people want the milk, but if you give the milk, nobody buys the cow.
That's right.
She's like, Ma, we don't live on a farm. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah. But they, you know, same analogy. If she can get the milk everywhere else, she doesn't need a cow. She doesn't need that, right?
Exactly.
And then Ahmad thinks the same thing.
But you want to know what's true. Like, think about it. Like, when you got married, my husband and I already lived together, right? Mm-hmm. We already had a lot of our finances together. There really was no difference from before to after, except now I had a wedding band and before I didn't.
Yeah, but you told him. You were like, listen, it's happening now or I'm moving out.
Yeah, I gave an ultimatum, which I believe a lot of psychologists have told me is not the right thing to do. But
it's the same thing. You're taking control, right?
See, that's a story for another time. The ultimatum. Yeah. Let's not get into that. All right, one topic at a time. But no, but it's true. And it's like, if you think about it, if you're dating somebody and you're getting everything that you would get in a marriage, what's the point of moving to the next step? It was the idea where before it's like sex in a sense was more sacred. So if I wanted to have sex with my partner, I needed to marry them. Compared to now where it's like, all right, I mean, I don't need to marry you. And it's just a piece of paper at the end of the day, especially now when people are kind of seeing divorce rates skyrocket. So in a sense, they're even more terrified to get married. So it's kind of giving women more of motivation to be like, hey, listen, this is what I want. Let's do it now.
But, you know, we're painting women proposing in kind of a negative light. And that is certainly not what I want to do because I think it's great. Do you think that we can move towards a norm where it doesn't matter if you're the man, the woman, the woman, the woman, the man, whoever proposes? Great. That's fantastic.
I mean, I'll stop you there. I don't see it the same way. I think it's actually fantastic. As a man, I think it's refreshing, you know? I mean, if you want something to happen, make it happen. Just tell me what I need to do.
See, but now here comes the issue. If as a whole, we move past the gender norms, I think it would be phenomenal. It comes down to the ego as well, the man's ego. And a lot of men, I'll be honest, you have a lot of very fragile egos when it comes down to a lot of this stuff. So in a sense, that they're more worried about the societal pressure around them than the actual act themselves.
I mean, I think it's great. Propose to me whenever you want to. That's definitely going to at least improve my day.
I think you're in the minority.
Very flattering.
I think you're in the minority, Raven. I mm-hmm. think that there's a lot of men that would not like it. I can tell you my husband would not have liked it to have to go back to his family and say, Anna proposed to me. Absolutely not.
Me, your husband, Iman, and Oprah. We're going to sit down and we're going to get in touch with our feelings and talk about how it's no big deal.
All right. You want to learn more about Iman? You can visit his website, imanjabara.com. When animals attack, if you haven't seen this video yet, there is a humpback whale breached the water off the shore of Massachusetts and landed on top of a boat. And everybody's fine. The whale went back down. We assume the whale is fine. The people in the boat were unharmed. But if you look at this video and these people are face to face with the humpback whale, that is terrifying.
It's like when Jaws hops up on the back of the orca. I mean, that much air, the boat is just completely offset. I can't believe it didn't sink. Sometimes animals attack, Anna.
Right. When was the last time you got attacked by an animal?
Gosh, well, you know that, you know, my dogs just got attacked by skunks in my yard. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. We're still dealing with that. The little one still stinks.
Right.
We've caught five skunks out there. Every time we go in the backyard, we're still terrified because the traps are there. We think we're looking for a six. It's like PTSD.
Do you know what attacks a lot around my house? The turkeys. There is a museum that we go to that has wild turkeys on the ground, and they have attacked my husband several times.
Yes.
I'm always thankful that they attack him and not me, because he's bigger and more well-equipped to karate chop them whenever he needs to. But they are scary when they're coming at you. And every Thanksgiving, I put the corn on my front door, like for a decoration, and you hear the at the door, and you think somebody's at your front door. No, they're eating the corn like giant wild turkeys.
You know what my advice would be?
What?
Get rid of that corn.
Right. They're really pretty, though, around that time of year. Frank, what happened to you when animals attacked?
It was this water. It was this walk trail that I would like to walk on all the time by myself. And I was always scared that a deer would come out and stuff. But a deer never came out. But on one day, I walked both of my sons out on the trail. And as soon as we start the trail, a deer comes out. It started coming towards us, and we retreated. But I had walked that park for months, and a deer never came out. And as soon as I take my sons to show, you know, where I enjoy my tranquility, a deer comes out.
I mean, deers are pretty timid. I mean, if you make some noise, the deer will run away.
I've never seen a deer attack, and I've seen a lot of deer in my time.
Well, no, it's happened. Well, I mean, if you search YouTube.
It was walking enough towards us to
How did you protect yourself from the deer? I yelled boo. It ran away.
Usually, but.
Not only is it Shark Week, but there's been all kinds of animal attacks in the news, including that humpback whale that landed on top of a boat.
Can you imagine, man? Parked in the wrong spot, bro.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, you can see it on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. But when did you get attacked by an animal? What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Michelle, when animals attack, what happened?
So I usually go out for runs when, you know, I'm stressed out and to decompress. And sometimes I don't make it out when the sun's still up. So I was going out for a run and I felt the back of my head get pushed down in front of me. And I thought somebody was attacking me. And as I lifted my head up and looked, I saw an owl flying away. He had grabbed me and his talons went across my skull. And he pushed my head down as he flew up into the trees.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. It's a killer owl.
Were you cut?
No, I couldn't believe it. I was so startled, though, and just, like, laughing and looking at the owl, just thinking, like, well, are you crazy? Like, I'm a person. It was insane.
I like that you try to reason with the owl. Right. I'm a person.
Yeah. Respect me. Respect my personal space. Right? You're lucky you didn't cut your head open. I mean, those talons, I mean, that's no joke.
Yes.
Owls are not smart animals, by the way. You know how, like, they have the wise reputation?
Yeah.
Compared to other birds, owls, not all that smart, they say.
Do you want to know the craziest thing in the whole world?
Huh?
When I was on vacation, my cousin told me this because we were at one of those, like, we were at a zoo. And I could not believe it. Google owl's legs. Do you know how long owls' legs are?
I don't know.
You always think that they're so short, the way that you see them, like crouching.
Right.
Owls have really long legs.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like Cher.
Yeah, hold on.
With wings.
Let me show you a picture
and
of an owl's legs.
And the need to use its talons.
Right. Hold on.
A lot like Cher, actually.
Oh, I'm just dropping things. I'm so excited to show you. Look at the owl's legs.
Oh, my gosh. That is a long leg.
I told you.
Nice pants, Mr. Owl.
It's fascinating.
Mike, when animals attack, what happened?
So my wife and I got married earlier this year. When we were visiting our wedding location, we were at the farm. We were like, you know, we see the altar. We're going to get married by this beautiful lake. All of a sudden, I see this goose coming up out of the lake.
Oh, my God.
And the closer I get to the altar, the goose starts sprinting at me, like full-on Jurassic Park T-Rex in the rearview mirror, like coming at me.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to see him coming a mile away, so I started running the other direction. Cut to a year later, we're getting married. The goose comes down the aisle in the middle of the ceremony as though he's about to interrupt the whole proceeding.
What?
It was personal, like Jaws 4. He came hunting for you. Geese are very territorial. And you know what? They're angry, Anna.
In
general.
Sure.
They're ornery. My proudest story ever as a sibling, you know, it was the 70s, right? So my mom, my dad, they were a little bit of hippies. And they had this hippie couple that they would hang out at, Donna. And I remember going over to Donna's house. Donna had a farm, you know, pseudo. There was different animals there. She had big dogs. She had geese. She had a bunch of other things. Anyways, one day we're over there. And the geese try to attack me when I'm in the yard. I'm like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. Here's the good news, buddy. Spoiler alert. My sister, she was only like 4 or 5. I come running around the house. This goose is hot on my tail. I run a juke, nearly knock over my sister, but I'm able to avoid her and keep running past as the goose descends upon her.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it bit her.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was tears all over the place, but you know what? Not for me. I feel terrible thinking about it now, later in my age. Like, there was no courage inside me. A hero I am not.
No.
Not when it comes to geese, sir. Imagine me at his wedding. The goose starts coming down there. Ah!
Every man for himself.
Shriek like a girl and run out of the
place.
That's
almost what I did.
If you go on 5 dates with somebody, you're not that serious. You just start dating. But you find somebody else. When you call them to tell them you no longer want to see them, do you tell them the truth, I found somebody else? Or do you tell some white lies and kind of move on and don't hurt their feelings?
Well, I think time here is important, all right? When you get the whole story, 5 dates spread out over 2 months, maybe even a little bit longer, do you owe somebody an explanation? Or is it just courtesy to give them an explanation? I think that's important to ask, too.
Producer John, what happened? And then we'll judge you.
All right. Well, first things first, I didn't call her. This was a person that I've been seeing for a couple of months. We both have busy schedules, so we'd really only gone out a couple of times. But, you know, this is a person that I liked, that I had fun with. And I felt like a phone call was not cool. I felt like a text message was definitely not cool. So we went out and I explained to her that, you know, like there was, you know, somebody else that I was seeing. I wanted to see how she felt about that. And, you know, we decided ultimately to kind of just call things off.
Oh,
I don't even think you should have told her to her face.
Mm.
I think it definitely should have been a phone call, because when a guy is staring at you, you've been like, listen, I found somebody else that's probably better than you. That's why we're having this conversation. That's even more hurtful.
Well, no, I need more details. So yeah. First things first, where were you?
We were at a spot that had some good nachos. That was, you know, when it went out to a bar. It wasn't anything super fancy. There's no like Michelin starred restaurant or anything like that.
This is a bar then. So it's not, is it lunchtime? Is it nighttime?
No, it's
happy hour?
Time.
What?
Dinner time.
Okay. So she thinks this is a date.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And then he breaks up with her. And she thinks that he's hanging around the bar later on to hang out with somebody else.
But I got to say, no, we left the bar before having that conversation. But still, also, this flies in the face of every piece of advice I've ever gotten. You shouldn't call or text somebody to break up with them. Not when it's been a couple of months. Not if it's somebody that you like, you know, actually do like and respect. I feel like I felt like I did the right thing.
God, John, when you first mentioned this to me, I had less of the details. And now I feel like I'm coming over to Anna's side, like, maybe you shouldn't have done this way. She's 100% right. If you ask her to meet you for dinner, she thinks it's a date, and then you're dumping her in public.
Yeah, and then you ask her if you want to continue to like see you, even though you've got this side piece going on. It just seems very...
Whoa. It's not a side piece, it's casual. Side piece means that she's the main piece.
Okay. Well,
It just means that you're doing a couple things.
You're doing a couple things and you're telling her. I think it puts her in a really awkward spot. I think that what you did was wrong. If you said to her, listen, on the phone, but like, I would love to have you in my life and I love that we would be friends and all that, but I just want you to know that I'm thinking about moving on or there's somebody else, but do you want to meet for dinner? I can promise you that she was going to say no. She was going to be like, nah, I'm good. Like, she's not going to be like, yeah, let's go get those nachos.
But then the flip side of that is, seriously, you know, like, we've had all these conversations. We spent this time together. You're going to do this over the phone. You're going to text me. That's how you're going to handle this. I felt like I treated it like, you know, it was an adult situation. I felt I handled it like an adult.
2 months, 5 dates. I think that you're okay with a phone call.
I mean, it's a compelling argument. But again, she thinks she's on a date.
Yeah.
Wow.
Five Calls says it all. Producer John broke up with a girl after 5 dates, 2 months, and he did it to her face and told her the truth that it was because there was somebody else.
You say the truth like it's a terrible thing to do. He told her the truth. How dare he? That's like a nice thing to do.
Yeah. And in a situation like this, you really can't win anyways, right? I mean, you tell the story and the public gets to judge. He tells the truth. That's great in theory. Most women probably wouldn't feel good you telling them to their face sitting down in the restaurant, right? So you can't win.
What do you think? Was he wrong to tell you, hey, listen, I found somebody else and I'm telling you face to face in front of these nachos. Should he have just called her? 1-800-330-9999. Chloe, what do you think?
No, he was upfront and honest. Now that she had all the facts, she can go and make a decision on what she wants to do next. Either she continues hanging out with him or she moves on. It doesn't matter, but as long as he was upfront about it.
That's what I'm saying. That, you know, by the way, that's what she said, too.
Maureen, Five Calls says it all. What do you think about the way that John broke up with that poor lady?
I mean, honestly, I think it's ridiculous. Unnecessary. I think it's just like wasting her time. It's not like it's some big breakup where you've dated for years. I don't think she needs chips or whatever that badly.
So in a perfect world, what is the best case scenario? Does he tell the truth? Does he not tell the truth? Does he use the text? What does he do? Let's make this a learning lesson for all of us.
I texted or called, okay. And I just would have said, like, I'm not feeling it. I don't even think you needed to say there was somebody else. Like, yeah. You just say, I just don't see this going anywhere. You're a great person. Thanks.
So not only do I lie, but I also don't do it to her face. Correct. I feel like that doesn't. Right. I feel like that's not a nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, the unnicest thing that you could do is just disappear. This is like second.
This is not the second unnicest thing.
I mean, it feels kind of like it is. The slide scale there. I mean,
come on.
You know, if she got her hair done.
Definitely.
Brandon, what do you think? Was it wrong for John to tell this woman the truth?
No, I mean, I feel like you should always be truthful. Is he supposed to lie and like keep it a secret? Is that supposed to be better?
I think tell me sweet little lies, but okay. Michaela, what do you think?
Yeah, he should tell her. He's seeing someone else because I just think that it's a good idea to understand why, like, if there's someone else that is a better match for him, then, like, she doesn't have to worry about, like, you know, did I do something wrong? But I don't think he needed to do it in person. I think he could have just phoned her, you know? Let her down easy. Like, be honest, but don't make her, like, get all dressed up and do her hair and you get a blowout. And, you know, I don't know. I think he could have done it on the phone.
Blowouts are, like, $40.
That's not nice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did she have a blowout, John? Did she look like she had a blowout?
She did say she had done her hair that day. My point is, though, face-to-face, though, isn't that more honest? Isn't that a little bit more respectful than over the phone?
I mean, take a park bench, all right? Not a public restaurant.
Yeah, in person is fine, but, you know, her time. Like, her time.
You should have compensated her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Five Calls says it all. Andrew, what do you think? Was John out of line the way he did this?
I mean, he's not in a relationship with this woman. They've spent time together. Unless they're in a committed relationship, I don't think there's really the need to tell everything.
Yeah, see, this is the part that is surprising to me, right? It's like, I want to respect people. I think it's great that you respect people and you're upfront with them. But on the other hand, like, we're getting dangerously close to the last caller, like, seemed like she wanted closure. You know, does this relationship entail closure after 4 or 5 casual dates spread out over 2 months?
It's not really closure when he just says that, hey, I found another girl.
It is.
It
means that I'm done with you. I'm not seeing you anymore. You've made a decision. Of course, that's closure.
To me, I would be sad. I'd be like, what did she have that I didn't have? Is she prettier than me?
Well, is there a scenario where you don't feel sad, though? Like you're saying, I'd feel sad. What scenario exists where no one's feeling sad?
Okay, well, then you shouldn't have done it to her face. You should have done it over the phone.
She still doesn't feel sad. You're disrespected.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Mike and Jill. Jill, what's going on?
Hey, so, okay.
me and my fiance, we got engaged. I'm so happy. Everything is good. We're working out the kinks on the wedding. And he has a family funeral home.
Say what?
And he wants to have the reception there.
So, Mike, you want to have your wedding at your family's funeral home?
What? I mean, right? Am I understanding that correctly? You guys own a funeral home?
Yeah, we own a funeral home, and I think it would just be, like, a really great idea to have our wedding there. I mean, they've had, like, baby showers. They have engagement parties there before in the past.
They have?
Yeah, it's, like, a great, huge lawn. I mean, they have, like, a bunch of tents. Like, I don't know. We can have, like, a beautiful cocktail hour even, you know?
Wait, so you have a reception area in the funeral home as well?
On the grounds?
Yeah, on the grounds. Like, we have a bunch of other catering events that go on there. After funerals, there's just receptions at our place. I mean, it's super common. We have, like, a lot of festivities going on there all the time.
Wow.
You know, it's true. I never really thought of that. But when I think about the funeral homes that I've been to in the area around my community, I mean, they're obviously nice. They're nicer. I don't think of them as a place that I would host a party. On the other hand, I mean, what's the difference between a funeral besides the body in the corner?
The smell. There's a smell. Like, when you walk into a funeral home, it has a smell.
No, that's true. There's a little bit of that formaldehyde from time to time, right? But it is a nice room that can hold a bunch of people. Parking's easy.
It's true. Parking's available. You can have it catered. You've got a great lawn. I mean, I understand where Mike's coming from.
Yeah, you're not paying for the venue.
Yes, his family owns it. He doesn't have to pay for it.
How do you design the invitation, though?
We'll save a lot of money, and we'll just kind of utilize, you know, the contact, I guess.
I understand that, and I thought about the money, which will be, like, obviously costing.
We can go travel, you know?
But it's death, and it's kind of like a jinx, right?
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I do.
You look at it. I wouldn't consider it, I don't know, I think it's painting a negative connotation on it, but I'm just trying to utilize the resources and just save money so we can travel, babe, you know, do other things.
I know. I understand it, but I'm creeped out by funerals.
It's
just a few hours. We'll have drinks, and then we'll get on a plane and go somewhere cool, you know?
Yeah, but I don't want to be like the corpse bride, you know? Like, it's just so weird.
You're fine. Everybody will be looking at our Instagram while we're traveling and wishing that they were not where they are right now, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you guys make some interesting points here. I'm not quite sure exactly what I would choose if I was in the situation. I think I'd probably just do what it was that my bride told me. But we're going to find out what our audience thinks at this point. Maybe they agree with you, Mike, that it makes sense financially. What's the big deal? It's just another building. It's another room where they can do it on the lawn. Or maybe they agree with you, Jill. I mean, this is like getting struck by lightning.
Right. As long as there's not a coffin in the room, you know, like, I guess, like, what's the difference?
Or like a hallway. They turn down a hallway to find the bathroom or whatever. Like, oh, no, that's just where we store them.
As long as there's no other events going on at the same time.
Right.
Right?
That's
all right,
good.
Well, let's see what everybody says. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court. Mike and Jill are planning their wedding and they're choosing a venue. Here's the thing, though. Mike's family owns a funeral home. And he says they have a reception room. They've hosted engagement parties and bridal showers. They have a great lawn that they could put up a tent. He says we could save a lot of money and just have it at the funeral home. Jill, as you can imagine, feeling a little creeped out and strange about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's weird for her, and I get it. But on the other hand, you know, if she could get over that, right? It's really a mental block, right? It's not like, you know, they're going to be rolling any pine coffins or boxes into the middle of the ceremony. They won't use one as a cocktail table and just put a linen down over the top of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Great parking lot, you know, easy access. The family's used to holding larger events.
And Mike says, like, all the money we'd save, we can travel. We can go on a great honeymoon. Like, think about what we can do with that extra cash.
Wow.
I don't know. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm definitely on her side. In the end, no one should be creeped out or feeling bad at their own wedding. You know, it's the same reason you don't invite exes to your wedding.
Well, that is a leap.
Well,
like the inviting
what if your exes are dead?
Well, if your exes are dead, you
they might
definitely
already be
not,
there.
You're not going to invite them to your wedding if they're dead.
They might already be there.
Right.
Oh, no.
They're in the front row.
Why did we open this can of worms?
I don't know.
Worms. Wait.
Oh. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Mike and Jill are planning their wedding, and Mike has a great idea. His family owns a funeral home. And the funeral home has a reception area. It has a great lawn. They've hosted bridal showers and engagement parties there before. He says, why can't we just have the wedding here? We'll save so much money. We'll be able to travel with all the money that we save. And it's beautiful and convenient.
Yeah. Jill says, heck no. Are you kidding me? This is a funeral home. What are you talking about? I know it's your family's business, but this is a terrible idea. It's just going to spook me out early on. And what about the rest of our guests? Some of these people may be freaked out too. You know, it's true. When it's in the family, there's not that feeling, that you know, lurking feeling. I knew a family that they were grave diggers, as a matter of fact. They were caretakers of the cemetery, and it never weirded them out whatsoever, any of the work they did.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Couples Court.
I'm on the wife's side because that is like a creepy place to have a reception. He has a good idea. It would save them a lot of money for them to like do other things, but I'm on her side.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the husband's side. My son is a funeral director, and his best friend got married at the funeral home where they worked. It was beautiful. They had it in the chapel. They had decorations for the wedding. Nothing wrong with it. It was absolutely perfect.
There were no ghosts?
Well, we don't know.
Right.
We'll find out in a few years, I guess.
Right. Go show up down the line.
Yeah, like
right.
Demons. Really. Right. Right.
No, but it was great. There's really, really nothing wrong with it, especially if you're a funeral home family. It's your chapel. It's your venue.
Thank you for the call.
I mean, she brings up a good point, is that because we're not in that industry,
right,
it seems weird to us. But if that's your life and that's what you do, like, it's not so strange.
Yeah, it's a building.
Yeah.
Right. It's a building. And as she said, right, that's your chapel. That's your church.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the groom's side. More money for the trip.
Yeah, I mean, saving money always sounds attractive. You know, I get it. But just as if she's going to be trepidatious,
I mean,
the entire...
As long as the grounds don't look funeralistic, I think.
Right. As long as there's no headstone sticking out, right?
Right. That's where you sit on top of the headstone. That's your chair.
Thank you for the call. As long as there's not a flood that day.
Oh, my God.
Things are rising up like poltergeists.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mike, our audience agreed with you. If it's a great lawn and there's tents and there's a reception room and there's not going to be a coffin, just go for it.
That's what I would think, right?
Jill, I understand you're a little bit, worried about this or how it'll present or whatever. I think you just embrace it, right? Have a little bit of fun with this. Obviously, it's a nice building. It's a nice room, nice grounds. You know, do what you guys can to dress it up, but hit it head on. Yep, that's right. We're getting married where it all comes to an end for others. Our beginning is here. It may be somebody else's ending, but this is our beginning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Am I supposed to respond to that?
Well, I think you just have to accept that the audience believed that, but we do want you to have the best wedding. Yeah, I think it's another maybe a conversation that you guys need to have. But ultimately, the audience didn't think it was that big a deal.
Right. I'm so baffled by this. Wow. Okay. I guess I got to rethink this whole thing now. You know, I'm so used to the old traditional in a church.
I think that if you end up having it there, you're going to have a lot of people that pull up and they're going to be like, no, this can't be the place. And then they're going to have to pull a Yui down the road. But,
they know the families and
right,
they know that
true.
His family owns it, then I guess that makes sense.
Right.
All right. Well, we wish you the best of luck. Let us know what happens. I'm curious. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $300 thanks to Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how with Discover you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Sarah, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Okay.
You got it, Sarah. Good luck.
All right, Raven is
walking
out of here. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You and your doggy. I'll bring him back in.
All right, figure stuff.
It's okay. He can yell all he wants. We're in his home right now. All right. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, number one, Nick Cannon welcomed his 8th child and has a 9th on the way. He got his start on what Nickelodeon show with Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell?
all that.
Number two, Scream actor Jack Quaid walked around Comic-Con dressed as Ghostface, and nobody noticed it was him. His parents are Dennis Quaid and what actress?
I don't know that one.
Number three, the Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer had 172 million views in 24 hours, one of Marvel's biggest trailers. What late actor famously played Black Panther?
Chad Stawick or something like that.
Number four, Adele has rescheduled her Las Vegas residency and they'll start in November. What's Adele's last name?
I don't know that one either.
That's okay. That's all right. Number five, Stephanie McMahon will take over for her father, Vince McMahon, and run the WWE. What wrestler is she married to, Stephanie?
Triple H.
Okay, not bad. Let me bring Raven back in. They were hard.
Yo.
My husband's going to be so mad if I didn't get that WWE one right.
It's okay. You did. Okay, let's see.
Yes.
All right, Sarah got 2 out of 5.
All right, Sarah. Let's see here. $300. Good luck.
Number one, Nick Cannon welcomed his 8th child and has his 9th on the way. He got his start on what Nickelodeon show with Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell?
It was All That, right?
Yes. Number two, Scream actor Jack Quaid walked around Comic-Con dressed as Ghostface and nobody noticed it was him. His parents are Dennis Quaid and what actress?
Is it Meg Ryan?
Yes. Yeah. You guys are tied. Number three, the Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer had 172 million views in 24 hours. It's one of Marvel's biggest trailers of all time.
Yeah.
What late actor famously played Black Panther?
Chadwick Boseman.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Number four, Adele has rescheduled her Las Vegas residency and they'll start in November. What's Adele's last name?
Is it Adkins?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think you'd know that.
Yeah.
And number five, Stephanie McMahon will take over for her father, Vince McMahon, and run the WWE. What wrestler is Stephanie married to?
Triple H.
Yes.
Come on.
I'm sorry, Sarah. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Sarah and I can't be Raven.
Thanks for playing, Sarah. Hold on. We'll get all your info.
Better luck next time.
Thank you.
Enjoy that shirt, girl. $400 tomorrow, Anna.